Jim Cott has joined us on Sports Byline, former Major League pitcher, and also, as I said, you can see him on Thursday night's baseball broadcast on the MLB Network. Jim, I saw that you won 16 gold gloves, and I remember talking to Dennis Eckersley about the number of gold gloves he won, and he kind of laughed a little bit. He said, I didn't get too many chances, but the ones I got, I did the right thing with the ball. 16 is a pretty impressive number. Is that something you're particularly proud of, the gold gloves as a pitcher?
Well, I'm very proud of it because I took fielding my position very seriously. Bobby Shantz was my hero. I kind of mimicked his motion as a kid, listening to radio announcers describe it. When I got to spring training, one of my coaches said, wow, you look just like Bobby Shantz. And, of course, Bobby Shantz, for those that don't remember him, was a little lefty with the Philadelphia Athletics, won the MVP back in the early 50s and was a terrific fielder. So I always tried to pride myself on being a baseball player that just happened to be a pitcher. And as a result, before the DH, when, you know, and that's real baseball without the DH, in my opinion, you had to field your position. You wanted to be able to swing the bat, run the bases, do whatever you could to help yourself. And I took all those things very seriously.
Well, it's interesting. You bring up a good point. I think about playing defense, say, in basketball in the NBA, and I've had more players tell me it's more of a mindset. It's a determination to play defense, and I hear you say that, and I'm just wondering, do you think that today's pitchers, particularly, that they have that mindset to play defense, or are they just concentrating mainly on throwing pitches?
Well, I reminded the Twins pitchers of that, about how important it is and how you can help yourself. And whether, you know, I would have to be around all of them almost on a daily basis to find out if they really took it seriously. You can generally pick out the pitchers that bounce off the mound. Mariano Rivera, the great reliever for the Yankees, is a terrific fielder. He probably could be a great outfielder. So I've always said it does not take a lot of talent to be a good fielding pitcher. You have to pay attention. You have to anticipate. You have to always understand when the ball is hit, there's a place where you can go to try to help your team. And if you just do those things, you have a good chance to be a reasonably good fielder and help yourself out.
Are pitchers, both from a throwing standpoint and from a defensive standpoint, are they as schooled as they used to be? Because, you know, when you were playing baseball, the minor leagues were about five leagues deep. You'd come start a D ball and then work your way up to seed ball and everything else. Now, of course, you probably go to double A ball and you could find yourself in the major leagues within 2 years. And I'm just wondering about the development from that standpoint, if they get rushed to the major leagues.
Well, I think they do. We were discussing today how, for example, when I came up, there were 16 teams, eight in each league, and you had eight or nine pitchers on a staff. So there you had, let's say, 125 to 130 pitchers in the big leagues. Now you have 30 teams, and teams carry 12 pitchers. So you have probably 2.5 times the number of pitchers in the big leagues. So obviously they have to rush quite a few pitchers to the big leagues that probably would be better off, you know, spending a little more time in the minor leagues to learn their craft. Talent-wise and physical ability in terms of pitches, their technique, their motion, I think they're more polished than we were. But I don't think they've been given enough time in many cases in the minor leagues to figure out, as you referred to early, what works for them and what doesn't, and really develop into a pitcher to kind of know themselves and what they need to do to get hitters out.
You know, when I've been eavesdropping behind scouts, when I've been either at spring training or even during the course of the season, and, you know, they got that jugs gun and they'll be able to see how hard the guy is throwing, I really believe that organizations and people that are scouting kind of get caught up in that, wow, golly, that guy just threw 97 miles an hour. And they tend to forget placement. They tend to forget the pitcher being smart enough to set up the batter and everything. Is everybody in love with speed in the major leagues today, you think?
Yeah, I think it's power. You know, everybody's, you know, when you say, how, you know, a guy's fastball, the first thing that comes out is miles per hour. I really would like to see start in the minor leagues, for example. I'd like to see them abandon the radar guns and not make scouting reports, so detailed scouting reports. You can watch a big league game today, and early on you can sense whether a pitcher, what I call, has scouting report-itis. It's like they're already pitching the bottom of the ninth inning in the first inning, because they've sat in meetings and said, now this guy likes the ball here, and you have to pitch him there, and his hot zone is this particular spot. And by the time you get out of the meeting, you're saying, well, you know, how am I going to get him out? And then you have to realize, hey, I'm one of the best pitchers in this league. If I just trust my stuff, I can get anybody out. And I would like to see us go back a little bit more, pitchers go back a little bit more to that, not so emphasized or not so enamored with power and also scouting reports, but just throwing strikes, get ahead in the count, and trust your stuff.
Without the deep minor league system to develop a player, any player, how good a job do you think the colleges do in developing the player, Jim?
Well, it depends on who the coach is. I think you have, like, if I find a high school prospect, which I heard of recently on the East Coast, and they talk about colleges, I would, of course, highly recommend my former teammate and a young pitcher that I sort of mentored, and that's John Stuper, who's the head coach at Yale. I know if a pitcher goes there, he's going to get good training. Obviously, he has to be a good student, and he's not going to get abused. There's always that danger of going to a college where coaches mean well, but they want to win games, and there's a big temptation to overuse your better pitchers. Say you have a weekend four-game series, and you use them on Friday, and you want to win the game on Sunday, and you come back and use them again, and there's a long list of stories of college pitchers that have been overused and injured under those types of coaches. So it kind of depends who the coach is.
I would be amiss before I let you go here if I didn't talk a little baseball about the upcoming season. A lot of people are pointing at the Philadelphia Phillies, saying that the World Series has to go through Philadelphia, and they probably said the same thing about the Miami Heat as well when they got the big three down there. What are the pluses and minuses of having that much talent at Philadelphia?
Well, I think the pluses are that it's pitching. You know, if you looked at a team and said, wow, with that kind of lineup, like oftentimes you'd look at a Yankee lineup, with that kind of lineup, they're going to be tough to beat. The reason you would point to the Phillies and say certainly they would be the favorite, and you would install the Giants as the same thing, is because of their pitching, and if it stays healthy, you would almost think they'll get to postseason. Once you get to postseason, of course, we saw last year, it depends on who pitches the best. In the American League, you have that with the Boston Red Sox. They've put together a nice lineup. They're adding Crawford and Gonzalez, and then when you have a mature Buchholz and an improved John Lackey and a healthier Josh Beckett, and, of course, John Lester, why they probably have the best rotation the American League has to offer.
Jim, you know as well as I do, there was the lament that, well, the middle-sized markets and the smaller markets can't compete with the big boys in New York and Boston, maybe Chicago and Los Angeles. But an interesting stat that I saw was that over the last 10 years, 9 different teams have won the World Series championship. What does that tell us about competitiveness in baseball today?
Well, I think one thing it tells us is with the expanded playoffs that if you have decent pitching and you get to postseason play, you have a chance to win. You know, years ago without the wild card and the division play, it was just you won the pennant and then you went to the series. And in those cases, the stronger teams like the Yankees were for years had a distinct advantage. Now there's just that many more teams that can qualify and have a chance to win, and it's been great for the game. As much money as the Yankees have spent, you still have to go back to the late 1990s, and it's when they made good decisions and good trades and had a little good fortune when they discovered El Duque and when they came up with Mariano Rivera and they made a trade for Tino Martinez and Joe Girardi. They not only spent their money, but they made good decisions. And then the early part of the 2000s, they spent more money, but the decisions weren't as good. And as a result, it took them a while to get back there.
We got 45 seconds left, Jim. When you go to the ballpark and watch the game, broadcast the game, do you like the feel of the game today?
Well, I wish it was faster paced. I wish the strike zone was a little more liberal. It's so much of a hitter's game that the pitchers are at a distinct disadvantage. And I wish that it had a little crisper pace to it, but I still enjoy the game between the lines, the competition of hitter versus pitcher, and team versus team.
Does it still have the feel, you think, for the fan, that excitement, that buzz?
I think it has more so because it's, and I don't say I like this, but it is a fact of today's game. It's more of entertainment. It's more like going to a show than a game with all the rock and roll music and the promotions, and it's an event instead of just a quiet national pastime like baseball was originally invented to be.
Jim, I want to thank you very much. I've always enjoyed our conversations. You've always been very kind to me, and again, I want to urge everybody to watch Jim along with Bob Costas on Thursday night's broadcast on the MLB Network. Thanks a lot. Take care, Jim.
All right, Ron, thank you. Enjoyed it.
Jim Cott, again, has won 7 Emmy Awards for his broadcast work, 25 years in the majors, one fine pitcher. We continue on Sports Byline.